for a while, a few months, I was really upset with God. Like, I felt like he led us to that. The timing was set up. Place to stay was set up. And the healing that I thought had happened in my legs, I thought that was it. I was going to get to be a mom. We want to adopt and be a good wife and just live outside of a bed. And so I crashed pretty hard with God. Like, I'd had so many blows, so many nights screaming in pain, begging for help.
Before we dive in, just a quick favor. If you're enjoying what we're doing at Angels Among Us, please take a second to rate and review the show. And if something in today's episode touches your heart, please share it with a friend. Welcome to Angels Among Us, the podcast where we share real stories of angelic encounters. Each episode, you'll hear firsthand accounts of divine protection, guidance, and miraculous interventions that remind us we're never truly alone. Whether through a whisper of comfort, an unseen hand of protection, or an unmistakable presence, angels are closer than we think. Join us as we explore these powerful experiences of angels, both seen and unseen. Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Angels Among Us. Brent and Michaela here as your hosts, and we are joined by Alex and Elise. We are so excited. It might look like we are in the same room because of the paneling and stuff, but we are not. We are in different states. Alex, when did I first contact you? It was like a month and a half ago.
Yeah,
or so,
just about, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw some of the work that you do, some of your videos and stuff that you've put out and some stuff that you guys have been through. And most of our guests, they're talking about some of their stuff that they've been through in the past, right? And for you guys, this is going to be a little different because it's something that you're going through in the moment. I'm always really honored when people are willing to do that. It's really hard to talk about your life when you're going through that kind of stuff, right? So kudos to you guys for being willing to be here with us and to share some of your life with us. We are excited to be here. We're excited that you're here with us, and we're excited to be able to learn from you. So I will go ahead and turn it over to you, Alex. Give a little introduction. Tell us a little bit about your love story too, about how you met and fell in love and stuff, and then you can get going.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Brent. Michaela, great to meet you as well. You know, I feel super honored that we have an opportunity to speak with you guys. I've loved hearing your podcast, and honestly, some of the stories you guys have that you get to witness is incredible. And to be, you know, in the same series is kind of crazy. life feels surreal a lot of times. So my name is Alex Trujillo. This is my wife, Elise. We're just a husband and wife. I guess Brent, I introduced myself to you as like a spectator with a megaphone. That's how I see myself really in most of the things we're going to share. Because I've been put in a position where I have this skill set and passion to, with social media and video production. And it's just translated into my personal life. And it really was a cry for help, to get people to help me out, to know like what to do to help Elise. So, we will get into our love story. Most of the things we want to share is about finding love and faith and endurance in the midst of suffering. Like you said, Brent, we're still in the thick of it. We are, I think, in a better side of things, but we're still in the thick of it, and we want to talk about what that looks like for us, and really, Elise, talk about it, because I'm just kind of a little bit of a caregiver, a spectator here, I have things to share, but really, I want the world to know Elise's story, because to me, She is the biggest example of Christ that I've ever seen, and I feel incredibly blessed to live life with her.
I'm already crying. Me too, sister. It's okay. You got a good one there.
I do. I wouldn't say that you're just a spectator. He's been my rock, and I don't think I'd be here today if it weren't for him. So we talk about angels. Mine is my husband. I know that God sent him to me right in time for all of this to happen, which was kind of sad, but also I can see the beauty in it and the wisdom. I guess I can just start from childhood. I was a really healthy kid. I danced. I did ballet for 9 years. I loved it. We used to go boating and I'd wakeboard. I was just a happy-go-lucky kid. And I started having some pain in my knees and in my legs at about 13. Didn't want to dance much anymore and had a surgery on my knees that they thought would help, but it didn't. And then we moved to California, just my parents and me, because my brothers were, you know, moved on, they're older. And when I was 15, I began getting so sick that halfway through my sophomore year, I had to drop out of school. So I did online school and did everything I could to get through that on top of everything. We found out that my legs were twisted. So my femurs rotated inward and my tibias rotated outward. And the orthopedic surgeons thought, oh, if we just break and rotate both of your femurs and both of your tibias, then you'll save yourself hip replacements in the future. So I had that first surgery. They broke both tibias at the same time and rotated them. I was still incredibly sick. Couldn't get off the couch. Showering was a huge problem. And then after a few years of trying to figure out what was going on with me, I was diagnosed with Lyme disease, which we kind of looked at everything through that scope for a lot of years. And so I was lucky. One of my teachers put in a good word for me at the college that I wanted. And so I was able to go to that college. I just took like half days, I guess, only 9 credits, got through that. But I was kind of doing pretty well. I met my ex-husband there and we got married. And sorry, I get emotional about this part. I was doing pretty good, but my health was always kind of a problem. And at that point, I needed to get my femurs broken and rotated. And we'll just say that that was the end of my marriage. Sorry. So anyways, after that, I was doing pretty good. I was working full time. And I met Alex. And we met through a mutual friend. I had posted myself singing on my Instagram and his friend invited me to come like sing and hang out. They were a super musical group and that's where I met Alex. And I was just friends with all of his friends. I was always over there and he eventually asked me on a date. And I remember thinking like, oh, I'm not really interested in that way, but he's so kind and so wonderful.
Why not?
I don't know.
Okay. I'll talk about this.
You thought I was just like some basic blonde, okay, in my defense. But yeah, I knew I had to give him a chance and we went on our first date. It was like 8 hours long. And after that, it was just kind of a no-brainer for me. Do you have anything to add?
No.
Okay.
He won you over.
Yeah, he really did. And
I want to hear you sing.
I know.
Oh,
she's really good.
Maybe someday. Maybe next time. But yeah, so we got engaged about a year later and got married, and we went on our honeymoon, and then we got back. We went on a cruise, and when we got back, we both got really sick with what I'm thinking might have been COVID, because it was right around the beginning of that time. And I just never got better. It wiped me out. And about 3 months later, I started having pretty bad pain in my hips and down like the tops of my legs. And by the next summer, it became constant. Like, I was going to the ER. They couldn't figure out what was wrong. I was diagnosed with endometriosis and adenomyosis. And at that point, they told us, if you want to have kids, like, you should probably get going on that. So we tried for about a year, all the while thinking that if I got pregnant, my pain would resolve and we could move forward.
Yeah. And I just got to say, you know, like, Elisa's breezing by so many super traumatic events. But in this time, you know, we're honeymooners. We're in this honeymoon stage. You just got married. Mm-hmm. And Elise has starting to have this pain. Like, you know, she's used to pain and and sickness. Like, we've already talked Lyme disease. Now we're talking endometriosis and deformations in her bones and, you know, all of these things. And so she's used to pain. So when she says, I was in pain, like, I'm laying next to her and she's shaking. She's shaking in her sleep. And we start having sleepless nights where I'm just holding her, and you know, that was like February-ish. Yeah. We got married in November, and February, this is the state of our everyday. And we still have good days, like, yeah, we go out, but and this is sporadic at that time. And so, you know, I'm working, I go to the office, and I come back, and at that time I was like doing weddings and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we were getting a sense of normalcy, but as the months went by, it just became more and more difficult that year.
Elise, the pains that you were having, were they similar, or had it been escalating kind of year over year as you got older?
Looking back, I think that most of the pain and issues that I had been having were due to what I now know that I have. We just only had one lens, you know. We thought, oh, it's Lyme disease or it's endometriosis. So I had a couple pretty intense surgeries trying to excise all of that disease from my stomach and intestines and all that. And then the pain got worse. So, like, 3 days post-op, the pain in my legs got so much worse.
This is the second surgery of trying to address it, right?
Mm-hmm. And we thought, after this surgery, he said a month later, we could try to get pregnant again. But the pain got so bad, like, I would lay in bed and stare at a wall all day, every day, just crying. I couldn't even watch TV. Like, it was devastating. And I'm thinking, I just have like a disc problem in my back, and I'm going to go to the doctor and they're going to do surgery or something and it'll go away. But that was not the case. We found a neuropelviologist specialist in Switzerland after seeing all the doctors we could possibly see. They just sent us to one after the other after the other. And in Switzerland, they found that the nerves in my sacrum were tethered and they had like tissue that had grown over them. So they did surgery for that, burned everything out, and the pain got worse. So we were thinking, it's going to take a year or so for the nerves to heal. And we were just trying to be patient. All the while, I was 95% bedbound.
Yeah. Because it wasn't just pain, right, sweetheart? It was chronic fatigue syndrome diagnosed. Mm-hmm. You started having other problems with
flu-like
everything.
Yeah, I've been flu-like since high school, but I started getting really flu-like, like such bad headaches that I couldn't go outside, vertigo. So much pain I couldn't get out of bed. Yeah, just always nauseous, hard time eating.
And I want to kind of give a spoiler You know, we're going to talk about diagnosis, but we don't want anyone to think that this is about our diagnosis. How are we getting over sickness? Because, you know, at least we'll talk about Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, tethered cord, cranial cervical instability. She's got like probably
long list.
Tons of diagnoses of things to address. And it is unbearable. And, you know, but just going back to this moment where, you know, Elise mentioned there's 3 days after surgery. At this point in life, I'm like, you know, we're a year into our marriage. We've been married 6.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
A year into our marriage, I'm like, we found the answer. We have this diagnosis and we got the surgeon. Like, we couldn't have gotten a better person in
Maryland. Yeah, like, what were the odds that it was there, but it wasn't that?
This is the second surgery, you know? By the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go back home while she's out there with her mom after the surgery to do a job. And I think everything's great. She's going to heal. We're going to do better. So when she didn't, when she didn't have any relief and actually things became more persistent and harder and more painful and more sleepless nights, I remember one night I was laying holding her while she was writhing in pain, couldn't sleep. And I think, and like, what, you know, what can we do? I just felt like the gapes, like jaws of hell were open and I'm just like falling. Cause, you know, a year into our marriage, you have all of this like different perspective of what your life could look like. And now everything is turned upside down. And that was one of my first points of panic of, I don't know what to do. I don't know if there's anything we can do. Up to that point, that's everything I know how to do and more. And I wouldn't call that my breaking point, but it was certainly a place where I started questioning the existence of God at all. Like, how could someone, you know, hear about suffering and what trials people go through? But at that point, it was like, it's happening to me. And why could this, how could this happen to me? Like, what did I do wrong? It's hard not to be a victim. How could a loving God make you suffer this much?
Yeah, and I think that until it happens to you, you have no idea how bad it is. Like, people get cancer, they get all these horrible things, and, you know, you're like, oh, that's awful. But you can't comprehend how awful it really is until it happens to you. And you don't think it could happen to you. Like, it's the craziest thing. So, yeah, Alex was, he was just doing so much for me. I mean, he was working full time. He was a full time caregiver. He was cleaning the house. He was making the food. And I felt so guilty because I couldn't be a good wife. I couldn't take care of him like he needed. And I just felt like this huge burden. And the thoughts of like, oh, he'd be happier with somebody else. He'd be happier somehow in the future if I weren't here, already dealing with immense amounts of pain. And I still struggle with guilt. Like, I think other people who have challenges, especially medical challenges, can probably really relate to that. You know, you feel like a burden on top of everything else. But just like moving on, I had that surgery in Switzerland. Everything got worse. We waited 2 years to see if the nerves would heal, if things would go away, if the fatigue and flu-like symptoms would go away. They didn't. We ended up going to a clinic in Minnesota where I stayed for 3 weeks and got all kinds of stem cells and procedures. And that was torture in and of itself. I had to get a bone marrow harvest with no anesthesia. Just some laughing gas to try to, anyways, it was awful. And I had actually had a seizure. I was beginning to have some seizures before this time.
2023.
Yeah, man, it's so much. So that was one of the reasons we went to do these stem cells, is we thought maybe it would
it would heal what I had going on. And I guess I'll backtrack a little bit. Before this, we had found out that I had a genetic condition called hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which basically means that a protein isn't made in my collagen and nothing that we take could fix it. So anything that's made of connective tissue from your skin, your organs, your tendons, just anything that's connective tissue is faulty. So we found out that that was probably why I was having all these issues, why my legs were twisted from birth pretty much, why I had so much widespread chronic pain. And we found out that my spinal cord was tethered. So I had to go get surgery on my spinal cord, at which point they found out that the cord was tethered, meaning it wasn't loose and flowing like it should be. And my nerves were also tethered in that area with my spinal cord. So we had that surgery and things got worse.
And not only did it get worse, it was for us, that was when we had that diagnosis, like, you have tethered cord.
That's why.
This is another answer.
Yeah.
What a relief. Praise God.
Yeah.
And it was hard facing it because, you know, we're part of these super rare conditions groups, and it is horrible to listen to these things. And, you know, we're with the doctor and she tells Elise, like, you have this, but I'll warn you, with the amount of medication and that you have to take, this is going to feel like torture for you.
Yeah, I was already on pain medication for a few years, and so they were worried about controlling it post-op. And oof, this one gets me too. It really was like the darkest hell that I could go through. I was up screaming and crying all night. My mom just laid her head on mine and just cried. It was an awful week. Really awful. I would not wish that on anybody. But we got through it. And I know that I could not have done any of this without God's strength. Because I am just a little girl. I always say that. I'm just a little girl. Like, I can't do this. But
what happened after surgery, baby?
Immediately after, my leg pain was gone for about a week. And so we really thought this was it. Like, what were the odds that I had this really rare condition and the pain was gone and I was ecstatic? It all felt worth it. And then about a week later, it came back, and I want to say, like, worse than before. And it was devastating. And that was like one of the darkest times of my life. Like, God, why would I have all of these incredibly rare things and it not, like, it not be the cause? Like, why would you lead us to this? Because we truly felt led to every one of these diagnoses and all of these surgeries and all of these providers that were specialists. And man, I think I've had so many blows like that, that I really got used to them.
The endometriosis, yeah. The spinal cord.
Not having kids.
Yeah. Not being able to have kids alone.
Yeah, that alone is huge. But I feel like there's so much going on that it's not even like the first thing on my mind. Anyways, so
2023, spinal cord, no relief.
Mm-hmm. We kept looking for answers, and my seizures started happening more and more.
They started that year.
Yep. I, like, got checked out by neurology, and they didn't think they were epileptic.
Tell them. So I got to inject here. So I don't know what I was doing, but I was out, I don't know, maybe at Smith's taking groceries or something, and Lacey called me and she's like, something weird is happening.
Yeah.
And I'm used to these kind of calls because she deals with every symptom under the sun. So I come home and her face is twitching. She's like, my face is twitching and I can't stop it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, no worries. I document everything because I show her doctors. And I notice it's getting worse.
Yeah.
It's like convulsions throughout her face. Then her arms. She starts panicking. I try to stay calm. It's going to be okay, sweetheart. But I'm going to take you to the hospital right now. So as we head over, she starts losing control of her body. And this has never happened before. Nothing like this in the neurological sense. This is brand new. So it always feels like there's more and more and more to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way over, you know, she starts shaking all her head. Her whole body is shaking at this point. Granted, most seizures, if you think about, if you know people who deal with epilepsy, shouldn't last more than a few minutes. So we take her to the hospital and she's in. I mostly carry her in. She's moving her feet a little bit. And I'm blown away. Like, how is this real? You know, like, she's already dealing with all this pain. It's not just pain, like, it is suffering. And day in, day out, like, I go to work and I'm fortunate enough to work from home. And I see my wife and I'm sitting with her just to get through pain most of the time. We watch shows and stuff, but this is our life. And on top of that, you know, it's just this big thing that is new that we have to deal with. To take her to the hospital and had all the workup and no answers. Granted, I'm really grateful for our healthcare team who've always been very attentive, but when you deal with rare conditions, like, the medical system's not built to deal into these kinds of things. And we had to build a new norm at that point.
Yeah.
Dealing with seizures unexpectedly.
Yeah. As we were looking for solutions and, you know, what could possibly be going on, a doctor suspected that I had something called craniocervical instability, which is basically where the ligaments, where your neck and brain meet, are either eroded or torn. So he sent me to get imaging for that, which took such a long time because there's specific imaging that you need that not a lot of places do. So we had to go out of state for it. But it was confirmed that my vertebrae were sliding around just with like the simplest movements, and my brainstem was compressed, my spinal cord was compressed. And they were like, oh, another answer. This is it. And they were telling us that, you know, compression and issues at the brainstem can cause pain throughout the body and pain down your legs. And we're like, oh, that's it. Because at this point, my spine pain and my leg pain, my pelvic pain, like, it was just, I couldn't get out of bed, and every day I'd wake up and it takes a while. Even now, it takes me an hour or two to finally get out of bed because I know I have to face another day. And at nighttime, like, I couldn't sleep from the pain, and I'd be so panicked to have to wait till morning to take my meds and get relief. It's really hard. So after a while of trying to find the right doctors, the right imaging, we finally, sorry, my knee hurts. We finally, last year, found a surgeon who specializes in fusions for CCI of the skull to the first two vertebrae. And he's proficient with EDS, which complicates a lot of things. So last year, after all of our imaging, we went and they found that my jugular veins were also compressed, and I was only getting 20% blood flow through my neck. And so he luckily is close with another surgeon who does those things. So we went to New York for 3 months, stayed with my grandma out there, and I had 2 surgeries in a month. One on my jugular to open it up. And then a month later, I had a skull to C2 fusion, which again, I had been on high dose pain meds for years, and it took some time to figure out what they needed to give me and how much to get that pain under control. And so I don't remember much of the first day, just like screaming, crying, staring at a wall, the nurse telling me, "You have to stop crying." And I'm like, "I'm trying. I can't."
Oh my gosh.
And after that, like, it was hard. My nerves in my head were on fire. So if I sat up, it would just like burn all the way down. I can show you my baldness.
No, it's going in pretty good. It's pretty good.
It is. Oh my gosh. Seriously, you are gorgeous.
Thank you.
I'm not joking. I'm like looking at you. I'm like, I don't, seriously, stunning.
It was hard to lose my hair. They shaved half of it. Yeah. And I was like, my hair.
Yeah, well,
it's a small thing to add insult to injury, but
recovery was
yeah, that's hard.
And I guess what was harder, you know, we used to do surgery and recovery.
Yeah.
It's not something I would want anyone to become familiar with, but we're used to it. But something happened right after surgery.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So again, for about 2 weeks post-op, my leg pain was gone. And so I was praising God. I was praising Jesus. I was so scared that if I like did anything wrong or didn't have faith in the healing, that it would go away.
You don't get neck surgery to heal your legs, by the way.
Yeah. Right? But the nerves going down, maybe,
and,
you know.
And so this is a miracle to us.
Yeah.
It was something we're hoping for, and it happened.
Yeah.
And it happened for a longer period of time.
Yeah, we really thought this time was it.
We were on edge about it.
Mm-hmm. And a couple weeks, it was back. And I remember feeling it a little bit here and there. And I'd try not to panic. And I would pray. And I would just try to talk myself out of it, that it wasn't happening. And it came back. And so that was 5 months ago. My neck has healed so well. I healed from that so well. I keep saying, I think God healed my neck, like the bones at least right away, because I had muscular pain for a month or two. And then ever since, I haven't had any pain. I don't have pain with movement. So that's a huge deal. I have had a couple seizures, but they're every few months instead of like every other day.
But talk about just the last thing. Talk about what happened when the pain came back and what you told me of your gratitude.
Oh, yeah. For a while, a few months, I was really upset with God. Like, I felt like he led us to that. The timing was set up. Place to stay was set up. And the healing that I thought had happened in my legs, I thought that was it. I was going to get to be a mom. We want to adopt and be a good wife and just live outside of a bed. And so I crushed pretty hard with God. Like, I'd had so many blows, so many nights screaming in pain, begging for help, desperate to live, but desperate for the pain to end in any way. And I was pretty bitter. And I fight bitterness here and then. I think we all do. But I have this realization that if I don't show praise and gratitude for the healing in my neck, then why would God heal anything else? I was so bitter and so hurt and depressed that he could let me suffer so much, but I realized I need to focus on the gratitude that my neck pain is so much better. Because before I couldn't lift my head up, I was just flat all day, and now I can be up.
Start crocheting.
Little granny hobbies from bed.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
I love it.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, so that's kind of where we're at.
A little moment.
We moved out of my parents' house. We're living in an apartment now just for about a month and a half. Mm-hmm. We're trying to adult a little bit.
You have that awesome background.
Yeah.
Check it
Seriously,
out.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. So that's a quick summary of a lot of other things. And, you know, one of the things that I want to discuss, like, as a husband / caregiver, and I'm not nearly as I suck at cooking, you know, like I'm not very good at any of that crap.
He's fine.
Like
he's fine.
You know, when Elise started having her seizures, they became more and more frequent. This is in 2024. They became so frequent. They were happening almost every other day.
Yeah.
And
they're painful.
My brain just broke. Like it literally, I snapped. I started having these, tics that I can only describe as what looked like Tourette's.
Yeah.
I would just cuss and just let it all out. You know?
Just like randomly be like, pizza. It was so
pizza.
Whatever it
That's
was.
That's a silly tick. No, I'm just kidding. It was so embarrassing and it was hard. I didn't really care about it as much though. Cause it all came from, you know, when I would see a doctor, like you've got too much on your plate.
Yeah.
And I tried everything to just keep myself mentally well so that I wouldn't break.
There was a time that he was so depressed and he had so much anxiety. He would just come lay on me and cry. And I remember just like holding him and feeling so much guilt because my pain was hurting the love of my life. Like I couldn't do anything about it. And it was so hard. But he really had like a really special encounter with Jesus where it just changed him. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. You can imagine how, you know, a man feels going to the person he's supposed to take care of and crying on her. But Elisa is my biggest blessing and the best gift that I've ever had. My entire existence. But you know, I was on this journey of learning how to get better, because I can't be in this condition if I'm supposed to provide and take care of her. So I did everything, counseling, even alternative medicine of all types, everything I could do, exercise, you know, anything. And some of these things helped, but what healed me was the presence of God, and I decided to start working at the temple of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to serve there as an ordinance worker, and I didn't have time for it. I didn't have the capacity to do it. I didn't have the mental health to do it, but I had the desire. And it wasn't immediate. It wasn't overnight. But in my service to God, I learned more and more about him. I learned about his nature, about his character, about his blessings, about his expectations for us. And I learned that I was being prideful and caring so much. And so my prayer started shifting into, God, heal Elise too. God, whether or not she heals, like, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. And I know, like, things are in your hands. And I came to know his hands better.
Yeah, and I think that you kind of released this weight of, it's my job to heal her, to find what can heal her, find the right doctors, and realize that it's not on him. It's on God. I'm God's. I'm not his responsibility.
For most people that know me, they know I'm a goofball, bro. Like, it's yeah. I'm a doofus, let's be honest. And so, like, I'm a happy-go-lucky guy, but I was really struggling. And this was I've always had a lot of faith, but this was pivotal for me. I was healed. I was healed of my ailment. I didn't feel like, at least hates this, but I didn't need my medication anymore.
I don't hate it.
I was doing great. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Even when Elise was struggling.
Yeah.
And I just felt lifted, and that my burden was lifted. And I can't deny that strength. It just does not come from me. I tried everything else. Mm-hmm. This was 2024. And I think it really helped me in supporting her into kind of these next steps that we went through.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a perspective change of life since then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, back to our relationship, I think we have a very special kind of love and relationship. It went from fun and I love you and you're my person to like truly being one in purpose, one with God. And like, I know without a doubt that he's always going to be here for me. And we've laughed through pain. We've cried through pain. And there's not a day that he didn't tell me over and over how beautiful I was, how much he loved me. That was the best thing that ever happened to him. And I'm feeling unlovable, especially because of my experience with my first marriage. I didn't understand how he could love me through that. And I kept waiting for, like, what's going to be the thing that's too much for him? And it just never happened. And I began to love him in a way that, like, nothing could break. I respect him. I adore him. I honor him. It's a love that's so rare. And in today's world where marriage is thrown around and everybody just wants life to be perfect and they move on to something bigger and better if anything is wrong, I'm just so thankful. And I know I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, for me, this is my earth-shattering discovery of life. Like, love, it's a gift that God gave me,
mm-hmm.
that I've been looking for all of my life. And I felt like I've had love before. But all of my life, I've prayed to know, like, what love is. I've had heartbreak. I've had a lot of dating experience.
Yeah.
Maybe another day I'll talk about that stuff. But I feel broken. I felt broken.
Yeah.
To summarize, like, I would never wish this experience on anyone, but it obligated us.
Yeah.
For me to receive God's gift of, to understand what love actually is. Love isn't something that happens to you. You don't drift into love. You know, sometimes in Western culture, when we are together with someone and time passes by, we feel like things don't work out. It's because we chose the wrong person.
Yeah.
Granted, like, there's it's a two-way street, but love is a consistent, intentional effort.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, love is service. And like, once you open your eyes to that, it's like you can make things work. And it's not something people want to hear. People want to hear you're going to get swept off your feet. You're going to, you know, you're going to feel Twitter-pated. And all those things are important. But it's not love. They may be a reflection or a shadow of it. But love is service. And I've received love from God. And I thank God for Elisa's ailments and problems. Because this is my earth-shattering discovery.
Yeah, I think that when trials hit, you pull together or you push apart. And I can relate that to God's love. I think that, you know, people say he's never going to give you more than you can handle. And I don't believe that at all. I think he will purposefully place experiences in your path that will break your heart, that will hurt, and that are a mountain to climb. And you can either pull together or push apart. And I think that's his whole purpose with being on earth and with the things that we go through. Do we choose him or do we blame him and be prideful and push him away? That doesn't mean that it's going to be easy and doubting and hurting and being mad at God. I think he understands all of that. I think he understands how hurt we are and how confused we are. And we can't see the greater purpose, especially while we're in it. And I don't think he cares if we're angry or tired and don't want to come to him. But as long as we do, I think that that's the test. That's the why. And something with my suffering, I've always told God, I want to use my suffering to help others who suffer, because then at least something beautiful is coming from it. It's not a waste. So I guess that's what I would say is, it's okay if you're hurting. It's okay if you're confused, you have questions, you don't understand why God would cause such suffering to the world or to one person. You don't understand why year after year you beg for healing and it doesn't come. But I know that it will. I don't know how, I don't know when, but somehow it's going to make sense. And somehow you're going to be happy, which leads me to happiness in pain and in sorrow. Somehow we've been able to keep pretty lighthearted and laugh together. Even when we're in pain, even when it's a bad day, we laugh. And I don't think joy is a place. It's a state of mind, and it's a blessing that you can have from God during your struggles.
Yeah, we believe in the God of deliverance.
I have to say, you guys, like, I've had full chills this whole time, and I think that you can look at celebrities and people who have all the riches in the world and they're unhappy. And I think that love is one of the most precious gifts that we can have in life. And you guys, even though you have gone through more hell than anyone deserves, like, I seriously listen and I just, like, I'm so mad, like, for you that you have to deal with this. Like, it's like, freak, like, no, like, yeah, she doesn't deserve that, you know? But watching you two and the love, like, Alex, like, you're, you know, like, just just making sure that she, you know, it's just so, like, visible. And I adore you two, and I think that you guys are massive inspirations to those that get to listen to your story, even through all the pain that you have to go through. And what an honor to be able to live this life knowing what true love truly means, because there are a lot of people that don't get that gift. Uh-huh. Even if you have to live in a box or you have to, you know, not get all the things that maybe other people have, but on the inside, they're not happy, you know? Mm-hmm. And you guys, like, it's like little kids. Like, you truly, like, love with all of your heart. Yeah. And there's no expectations there because of what you've gone through. And I would much rather have that than all the riches and all of the fame and all of the, you know, perfect job and perfect car and perfect house. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I've often told Alex and told God that if I had to go through it all over again, just to have him, I would, because, you know, the life and eternity, like, it's so much more than these years. And I'd give anything to keep him. And I will add, though, that, you know, we sound super put together and we sound like we know, and but we don't know anything.
Speak for yourself.
We don't know anything. And all that we talk about, there's days where we don't feel that way. You know, I don't want people to think that we've got it all figured out or that we're, like, somehow, like, elevated because we're at this point. Like, we're not. We cry and we question and
we pray.
We pray. And there are so many days where I don't understand and so many days where I'm confused. I'm hurt. I feel abandoned. I feel alone. So I want those people who are listening that do feel that way to know that they're not alone in that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's human. And to respect those days and those feelings, because you're not unfaithful or weak if you do struggle with those feelings in those days. They're totally valid. And you're not alone in them. But for me, I always have said that life's going to be hard no matter what. I'd probably be sick like this no matter what, but it's a lot easier with Jesus and with God and knowing that he died and suffered so that he could comfort me through this. Like, there's only one person that knows exactly how I'm feeling and what I've been through. And I would never run from that person, you know? So if you're dealing with that, just know that he's there. And even when we can't feel him, there's so many days where I can't feel it. I feel numb. I don't feel God's presence. But I think that's the time that he's with us the most. It's just our body and our situation. Not that we're sinning, just that, you know, I think sometimes mental health and exhaustion, you know, you just maybe can't feel it right then, but he's there. And I know that he's given me godly power. There's been so many days where I cry out, I just want it to end. I've asked him to take me before. And
multiple times.
Yeah, not just once. But somehow I've always gotten through the day. Godly power comes. And so, yeah, he'll give you more than you can handle, you bet, so that we can turn to him and learn that he is the strength and he is the power and he is the one holding us in his hands. And he loves us.
Well, you're going to get the biggest mansion when we get to see him. And you better be like, Jesus, you better. I deserve this. You're so awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys just radiate from the very Seriously. Second we started getting on. Like,
it's the lighting.
It's no, it's not. It's you guys. And I love my wife so much. Yeah. And I haven't met many couples that I can look at and know that they have what we have.
Yeah.
But you guys have that. And it's not, love is just a word, right? Mm-hmm. But actual love, it's not something that you can explain to somebody. Mm-hmm. And it's it's just one of the, in my eyes, it's a mystery. Like, it's something that I don't completely understand, but I feel it. And I know what it is because I have experienced it. And there are different levels of love. But when we really know what godly love is, that's the ultimate level of love. And when we can have that in our marriages, in our relationships with other people, it's really hard to love people the way that God loves them. And with you guys and seeing and hearing what you go through really every second of every day, it's hard to hear. Because we've been through things, right? And there's times where I think things are hard. And ever since I was a little kid, you know, going through things or whatever, and my dad would put things into perspective for me and tell me that there's people out there that are going through much more difficult things than you. And while I always knew that that's true, it's hard to get outside of ourselves and really see that. And like, your guys is hard. And I know life is different. It's hard for everybody, right? But for us, like for me, it almost makes me feel some guilt for ever thinking, like, I don't know. And I see things and I hear things, and I know people go through much harder things than I do. And for you guys, like, there's nothing that I can say. I don't have words to be able to make things better for you. Or, and a lot of times in those situations, I don't say anything. You know what I mean? It's when I don't have the words to try to comfort somebody or help them, I just don't say anything. I don't reach out. And I want that to change. Like, for you guys, for people that are in that, for someone like me, that I love you guys. We've never met.
We love you too.
Person, we love you.
You know?
But, we'll sing out.
Yes, we need to. What could you just say to somebody like me that doesn't know what to say? What do you need from people like me?
Well, first I'll say that we don't compare hards. Hardship's hardship, pain is pain. I don't think we should ever compare what we've been through to somebody else. Not to say that other people don't go through harder things. They definitely do, but that doesn't discredit what you've gone through. So don't feel guilty. Don't feel that way at all, because we feel for you. We know you guys have gone through things, and you know, we don't measure against each other's hardship. I actually have really struggled with people not reaching out. I've been judged pretty hard, and even by close family members, and that's really hard. It's so painful. And people that you think are your friends, they just disappear. You don't hear from them anymore.
It's very common with chronic illness.
That's
the social impact.
Yeah, that's been something that has been really hard for me to understand, because I'm not that way. Like, I love deep and I love big, and it's hard for me to understand when somebody's going through their cross, how you can't support that. And to me, like, there's no big gesture or right thing to say. I think it's just expressing love, listening, just like you guys have, and offering support in a way of just being there.
Yeah. It's almost a burden sometimes to say, what can I do for you?
Yeah.
Because the sick person usually doesn't know.
Doesn't want to ask.
They have answers.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you a huge tender blessing and something that's come to memory is we have a friend, her name is Nico. When we were first going through the thick of it, the first year of our marriage, we just had no idea. We were just scrambling.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom passed away from an illness prior. So she knew what to do.
Yeah.
She didn't ask. She just went. I think she broke into our house.
She did.
She broke into our house. And she cleaned our house.
She cleaned the fridge. She organized our cupboards.
Our 800 square foot apartment. She cleaned it.
Yeah.
And so what do you say? You don't say anything.
Yeah.
Just go do something. I don't know what that is. That's probably not an answer for you, Brent. I don't know that I'm perfect at it, but for sure, most of the time, it's not asking, what can I do for you? Because they don't know. Just do something.
And just be there. Like, text, call. I know I've had some people send gifts, and I had some really great sisters in our church who just would bring things over. Little gifts they'd leave on the doorstep, or, you know, text here and there, just to let you know that you're on their mind. And if you're going to plan something, even if you know they can't go, invite them anyway. Because it's so hard. I mean, it's hard to say, oh, I can't, I'm sick, I'm not doing well. Like, that's a whole different guilt and hard, but at least you know that they love you and they're thinking of you and they want you there. Mm-hmm. So,
well, seriously, you guys have been such a light in our lives, and I'm so sorry for what you have to go through, and I'm excited for the day that you both get to get answers and your reward.
Thank you.
It's
one of the hardest things is not having the answers, because I think that it makes it worse. Just give me an answer and then I can, you know, prepare and focus or whatever. And
yeah,
I don't know.
But even though we don't have all of the answers, we have the answer. And that is Jesus Christ. And that's, thankfully, somehow he helps me to know that it's enough, that that's all I need to know. And my whole goal in all of this is for people to know, at least to get a glimpse of that answer a little bit.
Yeah.
And through your story and being able to see and hear what you go through, and that you're still able to smile and laugh and shine so bright. It's amazing to see that you have the answer.
I think so.
And look as beautiful as you do.
Like, I just showered and I put makeup on.
Well,
and a sweater.
Blown away. So.
Thank you.
I need your tricks. Ready, but... your glow.
Wearing pants.
Well, before we go, we would love for each of you to share one thing that you know to be true.
I was going through my journal today, just going through some things. I came across this, was important to me. So last year, November 14th, I just want to read this, if that's okay, Brent. Mm-hmm. 2025, November 14th. I returned from my mission on this day in 2014, 11 years ago. A lot has happened since then. I can see. I am proud with what I've done with my life. I think if I had looked forward to where I am today without having the spiritual experiences I've had and just saw my life in a secular way, I would have been shocked in disbelief that this is my life. However, having been through the experiences and having had my eyes opened a bit more, I am proud of where I am today. I'm grateful for having gone through it. I'm grateful for the strength the Lord has given me. I've ascended and descended for years, and it turns out that my bondage is becoming my deliverance. Because I have let go those things, if not the things that aren't important, or at least I'm learning to. I told Elise on our anniversary that if I had the chance, I would choose her again. This was a declaration that was true to my heart and resounded in her and myself. It is a moment of transformation, not because I wouldn't have before, but because the depth of pain we've been through feels unfathomable sometimes. But to choose it in spite of it, because of love, the charity through Christ carries me. I have found love. I have found what I was looking for ages. And, you know, something that I absolutely know is that we can find strength and love beyond our own with the presence of God through his power. That's what I know.
Good luck, Elise.
I know. I'm like, I don't have anything that elegant.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I wrote a freaking novel. What do you got?
I got you.
Yeah. The end.
I know that God has sent me angels, earthly and heavenly. I've had some personal experiences. Where when I was doubting, maybe God's not real, because I have all these blessings that I know I've been told things and I'm just not getting better. I've had experiences that let me know that there is a God. And so I'm not perfect at believing, you know, I get my doubts, so I wouldn't say I know without a doubt, but I believe with all that I am that there is a higher plan, a higher purpose, a life after this life that will be worth everything that we experience and everything that we go through. And I know that he will send people into your life, whether it's a stranger or a spouse, who will get you through it alongside. You know, you can't see God, you can't always feel him or touch him, but he'll send people to you to wink at you and let him know, let you know that he's there. And I also just want to like thank my mom, because my mom has been with me from the beginning of it. Alex joined in my adulthood, but my mom has been there since I was in high school, and she's physically carried me so many times and showered me and just basically a baby, an adult baby that she has cared for all over again. And she's the most lovely, Christ-like, beautiful person that I know. And she's been such a support to Alex and myself and to our marriage. And so she's been one of my biggest angels. And I know God sent Alex to me as well. And, you know, if you're suffering, if you're alone, just hold on, because he will send angels to you to sustain you. And Alex has showed me God's love and how he loves me every day. And he's helped me love myself in the way God loves me because of his like service and divine calling. And so that's what I know. Hang in there. You might be in the middle of it, but it'll get better. And you can still have joy and love. And love is the answer to everything. Love your God. Love Jesus. Love your husband and your family. Love yourself. And just hang on.
You seriously have made me better. And I'm not joking. Like, oh, goodness. Okay. All right, I'll be looking forward to the book. So,
you want to tell them about the book?
No. Oh, my gosh. Is there seriously a book?
Well,
I hope so.
There's a children's book.
Oh, my gosh.
Go get it.
What?
What are you talking about? It's a children's book. It's inspired by Elise's story, but it's not what you think it is.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I don't care. I'll buy anything you guys put out. Oh, thank you guys so much.
Yes. Thank you.
What an amazing story.
I was nervous to get on here because I've just been thinking, like, what would I say? I don't know what to say. There's so much, and you know, what would people need to hear? I don't know if I could do it, but I'm really honored that you guys gave me the chance to tell my story and hopefully to reach other people. And it was really good getting to know you guys too. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. We feel the same. So glad that you did and you said yes.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you both so much. We're honored, and it was such a privilege to have you sit down with us. We'll let everybody go. Go look for those angels.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.